direct confrontation by Mr. Trump and those in Iran who see some kind of accommodation with the West as the only way out of the country's isolation kicks in. It is hardly guaranteed, but it has happened before. The two countries were closer to conflict a decade ago than was publicly apparent at the time. During the Bush and Obama administrations, Israel was repeatedly talked down from attacking Iran's nuclear facilities. If retaliation followed, that would almost certainly have sucked in American military forces. Both conducted complex cyber attacks on the Iranian facilities to buy some time, and Mr. Obama began negotiations behind the backs of the Israelis and the Saudis. He ultimately reached the deal that Mr. Trump denounced as one of the worst in history. But the national security team that dominated Mr. Trump's first 15 months in office, the National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster, the Secretary of State, Rex W. Tillerson, and the Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, were unanimous in the view that the president should expand the deal rather than reject it. As soon as Mr. Tillerson and Mr. McMaster were forced out, Mr. Trump withdrew from the deal, and their successors devised a sanctions regime that Mr. Pompeo described as meant to bring Iran's oil revenue to zero. For a year, Mr. Zarif and President Hassan Rouhani seemed to hold Iran's hardline factions at bay. They asserted that it was better to stay within the limits of the nuclear accord, even if the United States was in violation of its own commitments to suspend sanctions, than to incite a crisis. The Europeans appeared to side with Iran, declaring publicly that Mr. Trump was making a huge mistake by abandoning an agreement that, at least for the next dozen years or so, would keep Iran from producing the fuel for a nuclear weapon. In an interview in New York in late April, Mr. Zarif said that he was fighting a back-channel bureaucratic struggle in Iran to preserve the agreement every day. He ended with a suggestion for the Trump administration. Rather than look for new ways to maximize pain, try showing some respect. Last month, it became clear that Mr. Rouhani and Mr. Zarif, often denounced at home for being too cozy with the United States, were losing that internal argument. Under pressure to explain why a deal that he promised would help lift economic sanctions had only resulted in even harsher ones, Mr. Rouhani announced that Iran would begin to edge out of the nuclear restrictions, loosening different elements of them every 60 days, unless the Europeans found a way to make up for the American-imposed penalties. While a slow move rather than a drastic one, it also signaled a new moment of confrontation between Iran and the West, and a moment for the Revolutionary Guards, designated as a terrorist organization by Mr. Pompeo, over the objections of the Pentagon to flex its muscles.